This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Some U.S. representatives have introduced the Farmer Identity Protection Act, a companion bill to one introduced in the Senate last year, to prohibit the EPA from disclosing private and confidential information of livestock and poultry producers to the public. This legislation comes in response to the release of personal information of more than 80,000 producers in 29 states to three radical environmental groups through a Freedom of Information Act request in February and April 2013. Since then, many ag groups and farmers have been worried about their information being handed out to groups such as that. The EPA says it does not have the statutory authority to protect producers' personal information, but this new legislation would provide the EPA with the ability to do so in the future. The agriculture industry has been closely watching the EPA for any sign of what it might do with its proposed Clean Water Act rule, which would define, for permitting purposes, waters of the U.S. Don Parrish, Senior Director of Regulatory Relations for the American Farm Bureau Federation, thinks EPA overreached by proposing something that allows them to regulate land instead of water. The rule was sent to the Office of Management and Budget in mid-September. The OMB review is supposed to take no more than 90 days. Parrish thinks this is one of the most significant changes in the Clean Water Act that has ever been contemplated.
It's one of those things where I think they've got to kind of recalibrate, because it does have such far-reaching impacts. I mean, we're all for clean water. We're all for protecting the environment. But this is tantamount to treating a ditch comparable to, let's say, protecting the Florida Everglades.
American Farm Bureau's Don Parrish. In past farm bills, dairy programs were passive. Under the Milk Income Lost contract, producers signed up, and when markets reached a certain point, they received a check. University of Missouri Extension agricultural economist Joe Horner says that the replacement program requires more action from the producers.
Now with the new Dairy Margin Protection Program, producers are going to make a one-time choice at the start of the farm bill to participate or not. And then every year they're going to make a choice on how much margin protection they want to buy in a subsidized insurance format.
So, once a year, producers will choose and buy a package solution that mitigates the risk around low milk prices or high feed prices.
It is a little different than anything we've ever done before. It's an effort to make our dairy programs look more like our crop insurance programs, where people are making choices on their own on how much protection they want. Get familiar with it so that when you walk into the local FSA office, you kind of have an idea of what you want.
When the Dairy Margin Protection Program has been chosen, there remains a lot of work before producers will be able to sign up for the new program.
Everything will be done through the local FSA office, and they will write the regs, and then they will have sign up sometime probably late this summer with the expectation of starting the new program September 1.
In the meantime, Horner recommends producers become familiar with the dairy margin protection and begin figuring their margins.
They need to have an idea of what they're buying in terms of insurance. They need to understand that there's a trade-off between cost and potential payback on the insurance they're buying.
That's University of Missouri Extension dairy economist Joe Horner. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Long-term care can often mean long-term debt, but when you add the long-term care benefit option to a new whole life policy from Country Financial, you can withdraw the policy's death benefit while you're living to help pay nursing home or other qualified care expenses. Ask me, Wayne Schaefer, about our long-term care policies that offer even more protection. To find out more about long-term care coverage, contact me, Wayne Schaefer, your Country agent in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
Hi, I am Greg Urey from M&M Service Company. You don't need to tell me that farming is a difficult business. What you need are the experts at M&M Service Company. For all your agronomic needs to fuel, propane, and agri-financing, M&M Service Company is your one-stop shop. Our team is knowledgeable about every aspect of your farming operation. and can make farming a whole lot easier. Call your local M&M Service Company office at Macoupin, Madison, or Montgomery County today and find out how our team can help you make the business of farming easier. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
How would you like to have your own lobbyist, a legislative watchdog, looking out for your interests? If you belong to Illinois Farm Bureau, you already have one, a whole staff, in fact, because Illinois Farm Bureau keeps track of legislative actions, fights property tax increases, and stays in touch with Illinois lawmakers, bringing issues affecting farmers and landowners to the forefront and protecting farmers year-round in the state government. Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
After the harsh winter, there have been some questions about how the wheat crop will look. President of the Illinois Wheat Association, Kyle Brazzi, says they're going to scout the Illinois wheat fields carefully this spring.
Overall, we're optimistic that the wheat crop will turn out okay. We're a little bit worried about some of those cold temperatures. Anytime we're below 0 degrees, specifically -6 to -10, which we had without snow cover, we can see things like plants heaved out of the ground and some necrotic tissue around some of the leaf edges. So we're going to assess that over the next few weeks and try and figure out what we need to do, if there's anything that needs to be either destroyed or fixed or taken out. But for the most part, I hope we'll be all right.
And do you know of any problem areas already that you're going to need to really look into?
We'll look at fields where we had less snow cover, so places where we didn't have that blanket of insulation. We'll worry more about those fields than some of the others.
And looking ahead to wheat harvest, or even further ahead to the next planting, are there any problems that you guys are anticipating, either with diseases or weed control in wheat fields?
We'll watch, scout all through the entire growing season until we get to where we're at harvest. Big proponent of fungicides at Feeks 10.51. We know that head scab is always going to be a risk, so we watch weather models, try to predict what's going to happen. In a lot of places, we spend some money on fungicides to try and address that.
Are there any things that came up last year that you're going to really be watching for this year? I know you already mentioned fungicide.
Stripe rust is one that in my area kind of caught us off guard a little bit, but we're watching for it now, so that's kind of a new one for us. I'm on the northern end of where there's a lot of wheat grown in Madison County, so we're just watching for diseases, and that's a new one for us.
Again, that was Kyle Brazzi of the Illinois Wheat Association. Hamilton's hay auction will take place this Saturday at 11 a.m. I spoke with Mike Hamilton for a preview of the auction.
Well, we've got a lot of hay already in. Looks like we're going to end up with 8 to 10 loads of 3x3s. We've got some real good alfalfa. We've got grass hay. We've got some alfalfa orchard grass mixed. We've got a lot of round bales already in. We've got 120 reeds canary. Got some clover mixed. Just have a little bit of everything, and looks like we're going to have an awful large offering for tomorrow.
All right. Sounds great. So it sounds like a great time for people to really get stocked up on their hay.
Yeah, if they're needing hay, this would definitely be the time to think about doing it.
And especially with show season coming around, people are going to need some small square bales just to make it easier to carry hay to the shows for their cattle.
Correct. Yeah, we're expecting somewhere around 2,500 small squares tomorrow, so should have a busy day.
All right, sounds great. And if anyone has any questions about what you guys have, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me on my cell phone at 618-410-4293.
Again, that was Mike Hamilton of Hamilton's Hay Auction. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Saturday Horse Show, airing at around 6 in the morning and 12:45 in the afternoon. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.